No!
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 What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Brian.
Fuck you, cunt.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, cunt.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Oh, you're pouring whiskey in all your beers, aren't you?
All of them. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new episode of No, Sir, I Don't Like It. I am here. I'm Carmen Morales. With me, as always, is my counterpart, co-host, extraordinaire, Mr. Brian Vokey.
Hello.
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 We got a fun episode for you guys today, because we've been apart for 3 weeks now, so we've got so much hate in our hearts to share with
you
friends.
Little do you guys know, we put about 6 episodes in the can.
Yeah.
And Carmen went off telling her little jokes.
I went on a road, so I went to the Pacific Northwest and called them a bunch of pussies, and a lot of my sets talked about feminism and how they're a bunch of weak bitches. It was a good time.
Oh, wow.
Hung out with my family. I got to see my mommy and my sister.
That's cool.
It was good.
I haven't seen your mom in a long time.
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas. I saw your mom.
You'll probably see her again this Christmas.
That sounds great.
If you're down
great.
In Florida.
I had to convince her that I don't hate you. Which is hard.
Knows.
It's hard for me to convince somebody that I don't hate you.
I think if they really listen, they know that you don't. You just can't help it.
I just can't help what?
Hating me.
Yeah, it's hard not to hate you. Like, you should see all the feedback we get on this podcast. They're like, can you
Why?
Just make it no, sir, I don't like it with Brian?
That's never, you've never gotten that feedback, first of all. Second
well, I have
of all.
Two email addresses, so I just email it to myself from my other email address just to make me feel better.
It's funny because all the feedback I get is, I love your dynamic. It's so fun. Little do they know. It's just Brian being like, this fucking bitch.
Mm-hmm. Can't stand her.
Can't stand her.
It's a real Hollywood thing we have going on here.
It is. It's the love hate.
Yeah, we show up, we do the podcast, we laugh. The whole time I have a middle finger right in the middle of her face, just pushing into her temples.
That would be fuck you. Right before I hit record, Brian just going, fuck you, I hate you, fuck you, I hate you, fuck you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode. Hey, we all have our processes, right?
Yeah, we do. Hey, we should give shout outs to the people who have been getting in touch.
Oh, yeah. Do it. You tell him.
Matt Maloney.
He's always bitching about something. That guy. Jesus Christ.
I got to tell you, Matt, I've had a lot of talks with you in person. I feel like I've responded to your emails in person, and that should be good enough. Really, what I'm doing is buying Carmen time to pull up your email. No,
He's so... I don't know. He's just...
He's great.
He is. He is great. I remember he did write us in about... He was mad about the Tone Bell episode where he was talking about how people shouldn't have access. People shouldn't be have all access to gravy. Like, it's not a condiment.
Well, yeah, Tone Bell wanted gravy packets.
He was saying, he was comparing it to curry. He's like, curry isn't a condiment either. It's a specialty item. And that nobody owes you gravy.
But I think it's harder to make ketchup than gravy.
Why?
Because you gotta, like, gravy is just meat drippings and flour. Tomato is vinegar, tomatoes.
It's
sugar.
Way more processed. Yeah, it seems easier.
You're already cooking the meat, so they should have gravy packets. Although, yeah, gravy packets sounds disgusting.
Yeah, there's no way that stuff stays good. Because it's also meat drippings, too. So meat drippings don't have, like, a long shelf life, you know?
All right.
And that's something that you just make immediately and then give to somebody.
Here's Matt's words for himself. I don't like hearing people demand gravy handouts.
First of all, if it's a condiment, it's not really a handout, is it?
Yeah, you bought something else.
Yeah, it's something to put on top of it.
But that would be
not like you have a sign on the side of the road that's like, will work for gravy.
But you know that, like, touring comics and, like, vagabonds will know that there's free gravy packets there, and then they'll be like, hey, you can just get a free bun from Wendy's, and then you get the gravy packets from this place. And then you have
make
a meal.
Your hobo biscuits and gravy.
Exactly. I don't like hearing people demand gravy handouts. Gravies are not condiments. That's why they're called gravies. They're not called gravies, Matt. It's called gravy. Gravies sounds like people who fuck dead bodies. That's what it just sounds like. You dig up bodies and fuck them. I'm a gravy. Oh, you know Derek? He's a gravy.
Gravies.
What does that mean? He fucks dead people. Next, you'll be saying curry is a condiment or barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce is served as a condiment.
Yeah, there
you
is.
You can get it with chicken nuggets and stuff like that. So it's.
I feel like he's going to the whiter side of fast food, because if you go to Popeye's Churches, you get barbecue sauce.
You get barbecue sauce. You get hot sauce. You can even get it at McDonald's. That's what I'm saying. You can get barbecue sauce with your nuggets at McDonald's or at Wendy's. So that is some white shit.
Where will it fucking end? No man in this world owes you gravy. That is a nice line, Matt.
That is a good line.
No man in the world owes you gravy. I don't care what the Bible says. Did you order mashed potatoes or chicken fried steak? No? Well, then calm the fuck down, pay the stupid dollar, and stop harassing the wait staff with your absurdities. Matthew.
I think requesting isn't the same as harassing.
Tone Bell doesn't strike me as a harasser.
No.
He's a nice, sweet man.
He is a sweet man. But if anything, maybe passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know? Just because he calls Brenda out specifically, I don't think he's really...
Yeah.
He's really giving Brenda a hard time. I think that's more of the stuff, you know, that you, when you like when you leave a situation, you're like, I should have said this. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't know, man. His name's Tone. That's hard enough. Give him some gravy. Your name's Matthew. That's a biblical name. Nobody second guesses your name. You go to Israel, they meet Matthews. You go to Texas, you meet Matthews.
Yeah.
His name is Tone. All right. Now
we had somebody else write us and had some hate in their heart. What was it?
From Dave in, I believe, Fresno. I know I've seen you last time. I know this guy. I saw him in Fresno last time I saw him. I think he lives there. Dave wrote, I can't stand drunken theologians. The guys at the
theologians? Is that how do you say it?
Theologians. Theo.
Theo. I don't like these drunken Theos.
These guys who are like Theo Huxtable. I can't stand theologians.
Theologians.
The guys at the party standing around talking about their views on religion. The moment I hear the phrases, here's my thing, or I believe in a higher power, but not religion, I'm out. Yeah, no shit. Who wants that conversation? Like, I don't know who. I feel like you're very much not alone, Dave.
No.
The only person who's alone is the person saying these things.
Because everybody else immediately eye rolls them, too.
It's not that I think having your own view on these things is wrong. Well, that's good. You're not a fascist.
Nice. Very good, Dave.
Or even that I necessarily disagree with them. It's just the circle jerk of smugness and tried neckbeardian tropes.
I don't even know what that means.
He's saying that this kind of person has a neck beard.
Oh.
The kind of person who says this stuff, and that this is a cliche topic for a person with a neck beard. That is so specific to Fresno, yeah. I think. Neckbeardian tropes that have become nails on a chalkboard to me. Like the dude that barely graduated high school, which, okay, now he's coming at me. Take it easy.
You graduated. You did barely.
Yeah, but barely. He said barely. Barely? I even barely graduated high school. You're not moving anything forward. You're not challenging anybody's viewpoint. It's just a Reddit thread atheism echo chamber that no one is even going to remember happened the next day. Well, you clearly remember it happened the next
you
day.
You remembered it
you
days
You wrote an
after.
Email. So this neckbeardian...
Motherfucker definitely resonated with you.
Love you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. You're the best. Love Dave.
We love you, Dave.
Keep writing in.
Here's my thing.
The thing about that is... I believe in emails, but not like God. I don't understand. Yeah, nobody likes
religion
at the bar.
I think because why not? I think that's a fun place to talk about it. Because when your inhibitions are down and stuff, you don't have any of that like Catholicism guilt that's been embedded into you and stuff like
that. There's no. I've been drinking every day for 17 years. And I quit the church in fifth or sixth grade.
Really?
And it's still in there. Oh, it's still there. It's deep. They're good.
See,
they're
I was
religion at ruining your body, your soul, and your mind.
See, I was like, none of that was pushed down my throat. So I'm super free when it comes to like what you believe. I think that's, I think that in itself is God, is having the freedom to wonder and think about maybe what could happen.
You know what you just did? You wrote an email about drunk people at a bar talking about
religion.
And me
and Brian are drunk at a bar recording
I'm
a
not
podcast.
Drunk. Carmen is.
I'm not drunk either.
Carmen's 3 feet tall, so she's had two drinks and she's blackout drunk.
Who are you? Where am I? Here's the thing about
You're
God.
You're still driving me back to my house, too, and I'm in a nap.
Can't wait.
Okay, let's get into the list. Thanks for the emails, Matt and Dave. I had some good...
What are you mad about?
You know what? Okay, here's what happened. Yesterday, me and another comic came to support / help our friend Carmen Morales.
Are we doing this? We're going to tell people? All right. I did it on TV.
Why would you tell? What is that,
true.
A secret?
I know. Yeah, right. I did it.
Don't tell anybody. I was on TV.
I recorded a thing, and it was like a version of another TV show that's not going
to
be canceled.
She's trying so hard to be nice right now.
And
listen, here's the point. Let's avoid this, the nice.
I wanted to... It was like a writer's room type of deal situation, and I wanted you to be in the room, because I don't know if you guys have picked up on this listening to this podcast, but Brian's pretty funny. He's pretty funny. You know what I mean? And because of him, I actually said 9/11 on TV.
First words I ever got on TV. I wasn't even going to go into that, but that's great.
This was pretty funny.
Carmen had a prompt. They asked her, it was like a trivia show, and they said, what's one thing that you think is fake in your life?
Yeah.
And I said, 9/11.
It was like a bit. Ha ha.
And
the attorney, because here's, if you guys are unfamiliar, what happens is anything that's going to be on TV always has to go through the legal department. There is always like an attorney sits there and listens to everything that we riff and say.
She's the most bitchy looking. Oh my God.
They all have to be that way. I felt bad for her too. It sucks to have to be that person to be like, no.
She was like Ann Coulter thin.
No, yeah, she was the Ann Coulter thin, and she was blonde and had a little bit of a snooty nose.
She had that Kellyanne Conway, Ann Coulter, just bitch face. And she's probably a sweetheart.
She was. Like, I had a conversation. She was, and I'm certain that's got to suck as a job in general.
We're not
trashing
her. I
don't think when you go into entertainment law, being the one that's in a room, being like, hey, I know the show's supposed to be fun, but you can't do anything fun.
Yeah, and literally nothing was getting on. So the producer went to bat for the 9/11 joke really hard.
And then you suggested, well, what if you just say Sandy Hook? And then her eyebrows went past her head and into the ceiling. You're like, what?
And then 9/11 got through. The lesson here is, if you want to get a 9/11 joke on TV, start with Sandy Hook. It's a rule one of negotiation. Go to Sandy Hook, they'll meet you in the middle with 9/11. They throw moon landing.
Yeah, she counter offered moon landing, and then everybody in the room was like, that's not funny.
Yeah. So, all right, how about Sandy Hook? I'll give you moon landing. Let's meet in the middle, 9/11. And now the first words I ever got on TV for a joke were 9/11. She's fantastic.
It was funny.
Yeah, that was great. I wasn't even going to go into that, but that was good. Yeah, that was fun. But what I was going to say is that me and the other comic that were there hanging out were standing in the lobby of the waiting for to start riffing on jokes, and we could see out onto Hollywood Boulevard from the studio, and a car had like stalled out or something. And he was like people were honking at him. Nobody could get around him. He was blocking traffic at a
rush hour. Oh, so it was just like a disabled vehicle at this point.
Yeah. And it was a broke down car in Hollywood Boulevard during rush hour. It's massive. And so five guys come out of nowhere just to help push the car. And we're looking at these guys. These are the men of L.A. out here to help.
I wish I would have seen this. I was too busy getting fucking shit put on my face.
It was guys.
So what happened?
It was guys in like full brim sun hats and like skin tight pants that go up halfway up their
calves.
How
can you push anything in pants that tight?
We're all wearing these little shoes. These little leather shoes.
Shoes with tassels.
Yeah.
A lot of tassels on these shoes.
One guy had like half his head shaved and a big flowy other half. And I was just like, the men of L.A. are so emasculated. I can't even, like, it's unreal the kind, like, this is the first town I've ever been made fun of for how I dress, like, by other guys. No guy has ever made fun of how I dress,
which in itself is pretty immense. Like, I've never seen that in another part of the country where dudes are like, "Oh, dude, you look like you know."
Yeah, it's what's usually, up with that shirt? It fits weird.
Well, it fits. It's usually just that shirt fits. What the hell is wrong with you? Are you going on a date or are you queer? Like,
that's one of my coworkers made fun of me for having dirt under my nails. I'm like, sorry, I hadn't had a chance to get a fucking manicure today. And like, this is the only town I know where people go to get a shave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like it's. And then
well, that's
like,
not true. I think every man should treat himself to a nice shave, like where a dude takes a straight razor and he on the leather, and you get the towel around your face. Like, that's just some rich people shit where you treat yourself to a nice shave.
I just feel like this town, my whole life I've been called a faggot for no reason, just being me. Like, I am a faggot in every town except L.A.
L.A., you're like,
I feel like fucking Brawny Man in L.A. Because, like, I'd like...
You don't even own any... Do you think you have one flannel shirt? I don't even... Are you cutting trees down? Are you a tree cutter downer?
No, I just have a little dirt in my nails. And I don't know. I don't cry every day. I feel like...
That's all it takes to be a man in Los Angeles. But you cry in the shower like a grown man, like I do.
I remember walking down the street in Athens, Georgia. Just walking down the street, and a truck came by, and they just yelled, "Faggot," and threw a beer can at me. Crunch up beer can, and it hit me right in the fucking head.
Ouch.
And I was like, God damn it. And then another car goes by and goes, "Ha ha, faggot," like as they drove by. Like, that happened all the time.
They tagged you getting a drive-by assaulted.
All the time growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I even got that in Oakland, California. I got it everywhere I've been.
I got that when I was in Florida. I got that. I got called a fat bitch and somebody tried to throw eggs at me. They missed me because they weren't good at throwing eggs. But
and then I come here and I'm in Burbank, California one time. And a friend of mine has a flat tire. And I'm like, "Do you have a donut?" And he's like, "What's a donut?" And I was like, "Oh, like, Jesus Christ."
You're like, I don't think Winchell's is open. Yeah. Why would you want sweets at a time like this?
I don't have time to get donuts. I have a flat tire. So I'm like, "Do you have a spare tire?" And he's like, "I have one, but it's like smaller." And I was like, That's a donut. And then I was like, "Okay, well, do you have a jack?" He's like, I don't know. And so I go through his trunk, I get the jack out, I jack the car,
all
I
of
put
the
donut on. Takes me about 15 minutes, and at this point, a whole crowd of people are circling around me like I'm a breakdancer.
Oh, wow.
Watching me change.
They just start throwing change and singles at you. This guy's amazing.
At one point, one of the lug nuts was a little tight, so I had to stomp it down loose, and I got a wow when I stomped the lug nut loose, and I was like, what world?
Dude, I was saying that to be a dick, but that actually happened.
What world am I? If this were in Georgia, all those guys are like, "Yeah, you're taking too long. Let me do it. Like, push me out of the way."
And they're like, "He's so brave."
That was a man, a straight man, a heterosexual man talks like that. He's so brave.
He's so brave.
It's just so weird. Like, I don't want to like glorify. I mean, I don't know. I just think that like. I guess it's because there's actors. I really can't stand actors. Have I gone into Jeremy Irons on this podcast?
No. What's that?
You know who Jeremy Irons is?
Not personally.
He's the voice of Scar.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In The Lion King. Mm-hmm. And this story is a great example of why I don't like the dudes in L.A.
Okay.
By the way, I'm not talking about the Mexicans.
Oh, you're talking about white dudes?
White
mainly?
Guys. Yeah, white guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
White guy. L.A. white guys.
Yeah, L.A. white guys or any guy who's an actor of any race. But here's why I don't like actors or people in L.A., and I think this is a good... So Jeremy Irons landed the role to voice Scar from The Lion King.
Which is a badass, like, villain character.
Right, and Jeremy Irons turned it down initially because he... And this is on his Wikipedia page. You can look this up. He was worried that he wouldn't be able to... get in the right headspace to be Scar because the role he was doing before that was so involved that he wasn't sure he'd be able to shake that role off, the previous role, in order to get into the... What a fucking douchebag. Your only job is to read other people's words with a little inflection. You're not even acting. You don't even have to show your face.
Could you imagine
a mechanic saying, oh, I don't know if I can work on your carburetor because I'm in a transmission mode right now. And I don't know if I can really...
I've just kind of been working on this Chevy Malibu. I don't really know if I can get into your Mazda space right now.
Access a carburetor... space right now. Like, no other person in the world does that shit.
But it's also, listen.
How are you going to defend this? Let's hear.
Okay.
Let's hear your point.
Heath Ledger. I know, you're upset.
I'm like legitimately
Heath
mad right
Ledger,
now.
Like, had to play Heath a maniac. He is dead. He had to play, and this role killed him. Mm-hmm. He had to play a maniac, you know, and to be able to do that. If you're not a maniac... to be able to try and think like one, I mean, I think that's still like you have to inflict kind of some psychological warfare on yourself in order to portray it in a way that is believable, right? You don't think so? You don't think that takes any kind of mental work?
Your only job is to pretend to be other people.
Listen, I get it. I make fun of acting all the time. It's pretend for adults. I totally get it. I do. But people who take it seriously, people like, you know, Meryl Streep, and she gets obnoxious as well. I know, but I'm saying like they take it so seriously that they do inflict this shit on their own brains, and they do. It is intense for them, you know. And
I don't like this at all because I'm just thinking about somebody who has like. Could you imagine somebody who's just got like a dishwasher? He's got a stack of dishes in front of him. He's got to get through those dishwashers, and he's got to mop the floor after he's gotten through all the dishes. And they have to set an alarm on the building and be out of there by 11. And he's like, "How am I going to get to the floor of this dish?" And he's doing it all for $5 an hour, and somehow gets it done. And Jeremy Irons is getting $11 million to pretend to be something, and then he's like, not sure. He's too stressed to do the other $11 million job. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the money makes it seem really silly, too. But in general, if you took the money part away...
It doesn't make it seem silly. It makes it silly.
It is silly. The money makes it silly. But I think the actual act in itself of... I mean, think about it. If you had to manipulate people into believing something, that does take brain power.
Every night.
So do I.
Yeah.
It takes work. It is work. If you have to do, like, people who have to do...
I'm not saying it's not work, but I'm saying not being able to go from one role to the other with the other one, you're not even being filmed. Your face isn't even being filmed.
You could be douchey about it, absolutely. And Jeremy Irons, in that regard, is being douchey.
Jeremy Irons is him not being able to voice... I mean, he ended up doing it because he realized he's a dumbass and it wasn't hard.
And he needed the $11 million. Yeah. Is really what it comes down to.
Dude, that's just that... Those are all five of those guys pushing the cart, to me, were just like... Those it's just like every guy in this town is just milquetoast honky bullshit.
Trying to push a disabled vehicle, and how many of them did it take? Was there like 9 of them?
It took 5, and they got it like 5 feet. They got it around the corner. It was still in the street, not off the street. They got around the corner, and they all high-fived because nobody. Californians are so good at patting themselves on the back. Yeah, we're so good.
We did it, boys.
We're the best state. Mm-hmm. Texas is all ignorant racist. We're progressive. We're number one. Let's high five. We push this car in the middle of the street to still being in the middle of the street. Let's high five each other.
Ugh. That is, I really do wish I could have seen that.
We were going in.
Because it really would have
I'm holding back on this podcast because I don't want to say everything I said, but let's just say I said some things. I said some things that were said to me in Georgia. That's what I said. I just wish I had a crushed up beer can to throw at them. But no, I couldn't drink in the studio, so I had to put it in my coffee. It's weird because there's like two sides of me. Like I like to be self-conscious. I mean, I like to be conscious of other people's feelings, but I don't like making people feel good too. Like I want to be respectful. Like, I have this joke I've been doing that, and part of the joke was about how I don't get that. I don't care. I don't believe that Donald Trump is desecrating the White House. I keep hearing this from like Democrats, people who wanted Hillary to win that he's disrespecting the office. And it's like disrespect.
Like the actual property? Like he's vandalizing it?
Like the tradition and what the dignity and the honor that surround, you know, all that lure, the mythology that like That surrounds the White House.
The Mr. President, the precedents that you need to get a new Air Force like One because that's like, because he's a...
But it's like those... Every other president was a monster. Like Andrew Jackson ordered a genocide in that office.
So that's what you want to preserve?
Yeah,
that's
Donald the Trump saying pussy or something in that office isn't nearly as disrespectful as ordering the Trail of Tears. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe that he could possibly disrespect that office or make it any grosser than what all those other people did already. Most of the presidents are horrible fucking people who've done horrible fucking things. Though the atomic bomb on Nagasaki was ordered in that office.
Yeah.
Like after they had just bombed Hiroshima and never get... Like there's no way Donald Trump could make that office any grosser than it already is.
Right.
And I was doing this joke and the room started clapping with agreement. For me, and it made me feel like the biggest douchebag in the world.
Why?
Because I don't want to do jokes where it's like, yes, you're reinforcing everything I think.
But you're also saying something to an audience that are probably already agrees with that.
I hate agreeing with people. I want to make them laugh with things they disagree. I just felt like I was up there just being some like liberal, like fucking piece of shit.
But you also like you have an example, a real life example of this happening, and that's not just a joke.
What do you mean?
When you were at your day job, right? I remember you telling me there was like something that happened.
Oh, yeah. This the reason why I was talking about the desecration of sacred places or whatever was I was catering a wedding in this historic, wonderful venue in Long Beach called the Ebel Club, and it's made to look like it's still 1924 when the place first opened, and it's like much attention to detail.
Right. There.
It's beautiful. And some LA Rams were there because there was one of the Rams was getting football players getting married, and the football player started smoking weed in the venue, and everybody started. I thought it was hilarious that they were smoking weed in there. Everybody was freaking out.
By the way,
out.
It's legal. Like, they can't.
Well, it's not legal to smoke. I mean,
why is it? I mean, if they have cards, it's legal for them to smoke weed there.
No, you if it's a private place.
But this is. It's not a public place. They rented the place
you can't,
to do it.
If the club says you can't smoke weed here, that's the rule. That's the law.
Oh, so it was an actual rule that they already knew it going into it.
Well, it's probably one of those rules they didn't anticipate having to make because it's mostly stuffy rich people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were worried that the venue was going to start smelling like weed for the next wedding the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, how could they not respect this place? Like, it's beautiful. And I was like, probably because it's made to look like the 20s and they're all black people in America. And if it were the actual 20s, they wouldn't even be allowed in the fucking building.
Yeah, so they're going to fucking smoke weed if they want to.
Yeah, I don't think people understand that, like, if you like these like well-maintained buildings from the 20s may be beautiful to certain groups of people, but other people, it makes them think how their fucking grandparents were treated in that building. It's like, yeah, let's fill
concentration this place camps of oppression. Just exactly. Like, yeah, fuck this. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like if I went to like a, I don't know, if I went to a place where it was just like a woman's prison. Like, I'm not going to be nice to that building. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, it's like, yeah. So I thought it was awesome that they were smoking weed. And I told my coworkers, I was like, they wouldn't even be allowed in here in 24. There's this beautiful sign that says Historic Ebel Club Established 1924.
Mm-hmm.
And the only white people look at that and go, that's a beautiful thing. Wow, that's cool. It's been here this long.
Yeah.
Because anybody else would think, oh, I would not. Even Jews wouldn't even have been allowed in there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this whole, like, I don't understand that, like, this thing, this respect, this thing for desecration of these historic institutions, because anything with the word historic in it involves a really gross, embarrassing, bloody history. So, but still.
But that doesn't make the building any less pretty, right? Or else they wouldn't have had a wedding there, right?
It's gorgeous. So it's a pretty,
and they also weren't really desecrating anything. They were just smoking pot in it. It wasn't like they were spray painting the walls or putting out, you know, blunts in, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they were putting blunts out in the wrong places. That was happening.
They're putting them out in cherub's eyes that were over the mantle of the fireplace.
And I'm not even saying they were thinking of that.
Yeah.
That was just where I took it.
Yeah.
And the only reason I took it there was because it's like it's kind of hard to argue with that. And I really wanted to come up with an inarguable defense because I thought it was awesome that they were smoking weed there in the first place. But like the thing is, though, that's fun to do that in real life and to shut people up with that stuff. But when I'm doing comedy, I don't necessarily want to just sit there and pat ourselves on our California
because
backs.
Then you're becoming an LA douche that you were just complaining about.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's just I cut off the bit like I was literally getting applauses from like the front row of people being like yes, like agreeing with me, and I got so uncomfortable with the fact that they weren't laughing, they were just agreeing with me, that I just stopped my set. I left early. I just go, well, this sucks, as they're clapping, and I just go, cunt, faggot, and I left just to make them hate me, because I just, I felt like I had to get the douche off me. Like, I felt like I was covered in just, like, pandering douche juice.
Well, you don't have to abandon your set just because people are agreeing with you.
I felt
you
too
don't
bad.
You don't have a punchline yet. That's all it was. You just didn't have
I was leading up to something. You're right. I mean,
so you should have gotten to the funny part, because they're
the
clapping
funny,
to agree with you.
But the funny part was about to reinforce what they were already clapping, and I just knew where it was headed, and I just didn't.
You realize, like, a lot of this is getting people to agree with you.
Yeah, I don't.
Some people are going to not agree. Like, if you did that joke in West Virginia, they're not going to be on board with you immediately, you know? But if you can
convince
them.
And then I'll have
them,
fun there.
Right. But if you convince them. So just these people, this audience in particular, just agreed with you faster than say.
Yeah, I don't like that.
If you're a really good comedian, you get the people in West Virginia to agree with you or to be upset with you. Either way, you want to get them to laugh, right? Because that's the whole point.
Right.
And so I don't think that you should have to abandon your set and end your set with cunt faggot to fucking be like, oh yeah, you're enjoying me? Well, fuck you.
That's how it feels. It really does. I don't like being right like that. Like, I like the best laugh for me. My favorite laugh to get is when they are laughing at something they feel like they shouldn't be laughing at. Like when they cover their mouths because they're trying so hard not to laugh.
Yeah, that one.
That's the only laugh that matters to me, because that's the one that a comedian can get. That's the that's like a tactician.
Mm-hmm.
That's like it's anybody, because that's why friends are funny to other friends, because you know how to reinforce their established dynamic.
Yeah.
But like when you go take somebody out of their element, out of their comfort zone, they still laugh. That or groans are the only thing I want, or people walking out.
See, this is a very interesting part in your development as a comedian that I've noticed is because it's two things. Young comics you're a douchebag.
Huh?
You're a douchebag that ended your set with cunt faggot. Now you have to listen to me criticize you like a cunt faggot.
Go ahead, teach me.
But it's a super young comic thing to be like, oh, groans are great. I made people uncomfortable. I'm edgy. That's silly.
It's not about being edgy.
It's not about it being edgy, but it is. That's the whole thing. That's where edgy came from, is it made people uncomfortable and then made people laugh at a thing that makes them uncomfortable. You start out with a groan, then you end up making them laugh at a thing that makes them uncomfortable.
Right.
Right. Then becomes, but what's also a very fun development is when you first start out, you just want to get laughs.
Yeah, but that's easy.
It's not easy.
It's very not easy.
It's not easy. It's easy to you now because of where you at. When you first started, it wasn't just easy to get laughs at everything, you know? It wasn't. You can't sit there and tell
easy.
Me.
I've never bombed.
That's not true.
I've literally never
Shut
bombed.
Shut up. That's the dumb. Then
it's
you're delusional.
So hard to get them to not laugh.
Then you're delusional if you really think that.
No, I bombed last night.
But then what I think is great is what I remember in this development is like when it no longer became I wanted to get a laugh, but I wanted to get a particular laugh. Like I want a belly laugh, like a laugh like, Oh my God. Like that's the laugh I want. The laugh where people start wiping tears from their eyes. Like it's a guttural. They can't control it. It doesn't matter if they're eating or whatever the fuck they're doing. They laugh happens. It trumps everything else that's going on in their body because that idea or whatever it was made them laugh so hard, you know? And so that's really cool in that you're thinking about the type of laugh that you want, and you like the fuck, I can't laugh at that. Like that's a very specific laugh to go for, you know. And to write for that is a really fun idea in general too, you know. But having that said, when you are making commentary about societal things and like like things that you acknowledge that are, it's basically hypocrisy. We're being hypocrites. These are people who are also probably think that they're very progressive. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is, I'm just accepting of people. I just think that they should respect this space. Like, I think right. you want to respect a space that oppressed other people. You're an idiot. You're a hypocrite. Right. And you just don't realize it, you know? Pointing those things out, or like some people are going to get that faster, and you shouldn't shit on them because they acknowledge the fact that they fucking.
I'm not here for them.
Okay? That's fine. Jesus, but don't be mad that they acknowledge it too. You don't have to be such a contrarian. Of course you are, because your ego is insane. But
only for 1 hour a week is my ego insane. It's a character, folks.
Oh.
Ugh. Cunt faggot.
I will be that audience, right, and ruin things for
how
you.
How much do I owe you for this comedy class, Carmen?
I mean, listen, learn it and get it already so I don't have to teach it.
I can't wait to blow you off the stage for 3 weeks straight.
Oh, Brian is actually, all right. Brian, it's see, good luck, bitch. Good luck.
This is just a segue.
If famous people
Brian
can't
segue.
Do it, then you can't do it. But Brian and Brian's doing a Brian Allen segue. Brian and I are going to go on Allen. Byron. There you go. Same difference. That's a callback to the episode from last week. Sean White hates the phrase, same difference. It was 2 weeks ago. All right. Brian and I
that
are going to go on a
LA
tour.
You've
thank
been here
you.
Too long.
What do you mean?
LA comics always announce that they just made a callback. That's a callback. They always do that. Wait, you'll notice it now. Anyway,
I don't do it on stage. I did out. It right on.
That's
this.
A callback. Okay, yeah, I know it wasn't funny the first.
I'm gonna
time.
I'm
going to
edit this out. This is
loser.
Boring. Brian and I are going to be going on the road in October mm-hmm. for 3 weeks. We're going to go to the South,
East.
I guess Southeast. Yeah. Doing some
the
stuff.
Prodigal Son Returns.
Oh, is that you?
I'm from the Southeast.
Oh, that's nice. Oh,
yep.
Look at you. And so we're going to be doing some stand-up comedy, maybe a couple live podcasts. Good times. Make sure you guys check out that. We're going to be posting about it and stuff like that pretty soon
the
once
no
we get all
sir,
the dates
I don't
fire,
like
finalists.
Tour.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
With Brian Vokey and his very special guest, Carmen Morales.
You win.
Wait,
you keep telling
listen,
yourself that
listen,
when you go
listen
to bed
to you.
At night.
You're already stretching to go on stage. You're already cracking your knuckles.
I can't wait. All you had to do was question my manhood, and then that's all it took.
You know what? It's a lose-lose, man. Either a miracle happens and I beat the Russians in like on hockey. Like
it's not a lose-lose. You're getting
no,
beat
wait,
by
listen,
a girl.
What was I going to say? Either
so it still
I beat
works.
You, either I beat you on that stage, or... You pandered to a dumb audience, and that's why you did
it's
better.
Not well. That's just your ego justifying
already,
you losing.
Already got it going.
That's fine.
Actually, I won't.
You
have
can
an ego
be wrong
by then because I've just started transcendental meditation. I figure I will have defeated my ego by October.
I don't believe you.
I'm on schedule to have defeated my ego by September.
Again,
23rd.
I'll believe it when I see it. Mm-hmm. I almost only exclusively talk to your ego
twice a day.
Wow, mm-hmm. Your dad's right. You are a California boy. You drink coffee from a coffee shop and don't make it yourself, and you do transcendental meditation.
Let's not bring my father into this.
What? He's right. Hey, Pops. I hope you're listening.
White people be... No, he doesn't even know this exists. Let me look at our list. We have a list here. Oh, okay. From one socially conscious subject to another.
Socially conscious.
I did a show, and I know we've touched on the subject a little bit before, but... I think this can be a quick...
what happened? Let's talk about
it. In addition to...
I
did
a show
mm-hmm. in Hawthorne, and I was on a show with some veteran comics. There were some road dogs
mm-hmm.
who were probably in their 40s, most of them. And they're very funny people. And they were all white. It was two white guys and a white lady.
Mm-hmm.
And the inevitable conversation came up where they were like, everything I come up for, meaning like every part I try to audition for, every show.
Every opportunity
I get in the business, they tell me they already have a white guy. They already have a white guy. And then they're like, you be careful to the girl. Like, you're next. They're not going to be taking any white women. And they're like, nobody wants white guys. We're finished in this town. Like, just bitch, 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 bitch. And in my head the whole time, I was thinking, if I had more chutzpah, if I had more balls, I would have just said this. But I was like, do you think that maybe you guys don't get things, not because you're a white guy, but because you're all miserable to be around.
Like you're, especially if this is a conversation that they're having all the time. Like,
yeah, it was so quick that it sounded like they've been, or yeah, like just this left is a one is,
it's like
another.
A just an like a knee jerk response conversation.
Every time
like,
around oh, another comic, white yeah. comic, you know, it's all white comics.
Fucking,
let's get,
we
let's,
never get shit. You know what I mean?
Shit. And I'm like, what TV are you watching where you see white people disappear?
Dude, even the TV show we just filmed that I just did. You know, the host was white. The producers were white. Most of the people involved in the show, except for the guy that was putting a fucking microphone on me, was white.
We're not going anywhere, people. We're not going anywhere. And this complaint is so annoying. Like, I know that it happens. I know that a person who might have been better for a gig has been turned down for a person who's more diverse. It does happen, but it is still, there is ample opportunity if you are not good to be around and talented. Maybe you don't get to suck anymore and get everything handed to you.
Well, yeah, you just got to be better than mediocre now because now, and but that's the thing, it doesn't make sense, right. Is all for all of us time, it's been all white guys and then one girl and one black guy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how it's always been. And it took me... That's the whole thing of the Bill Burr thing of being undeniable. It took me having to be undeniable to get the chick spot because there were other chicks that were up for those spots too, you know? Yeah. So it took that, and it took me like not even thinking about the being the only chick spot. I was competing with all of those white dudes,
right.
You know? And then you start blowing white dudes out of the water, and guess what? It takes
I thought you were
that.
Just gonna say blowing white dudes, and
it
that's
just
what
takes
it takes
a lot of blowing white
just
dudes.
Blow white dudes, and that's what it takes.
No, God, I wish it was that easy.
I do too, man. I would suck. There's.
I
this,
get so mad about that whole like shaming people for that,
for dick sucking for spots.
Yeah,
dude. You know what's worse is. Every other way you could possibly get a spot. If I could just suck a dick and make $100,000, are you kidding me?
That's gotta be a gnarly dick for $100,000, right? Like, I mean, people just give away blowjobs all the time. You know?
Don't care.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how pretty of a mouth you gotta have? Somebody's paying $100,000 for it.
No, they just want that power. That's what you're paying.
The power of it. So they're paying you just feel like to have God. Power over you.
Yeah.
Like and a dominatrix.
Fine. That's fine. Take the power.
Mm-hmm.
Just get. Let me be able to buy a whole fleet of 88 refurbished 1988 Toyota Corollas, which is what I'm going to do. As
you
soon
and
as
your
I get
weird
money.
Niche car obsession. Yeah.
I want a fleet of 88 Corollas, and I'll suck every dick in the room to get them. I don't care. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, like the amount of other kind of compromises you make.
I have such a weird feeling. Like this is the one thing I don't like. I don't like people. Shame. I think there's a healthy amount of shame, but I also think that it's shitty to shame people. I don't know. I guess I'm on the fence about shame.
It's not like
I feel like there's a balance.
I feel like there's a shit.
For sure. I think there's still a balance of shame that's useful. You know,
absolutely.
Shame helps people improve themselves.
Absolutely.
But shame also stops people from reaching their full potential. You know, so I feel like it's a balance.
Yeah, well, some people respond differently to different things. Like, I respond well to shame.
So do I.
Some of the best decisions I've ever made in my life have been come from being borderline harassed and shamed into the right decision.
But again, I also think it's balanced. Like, when I was coming up, I had comics, older road dogs, probably like guys, but they weren't white. They were all not white. So they were like, I think there was one white guy out of all
scary.
Of them. No, it was black dudes, Hispanic dudes, and a white guy, and it was a combination of a Tony Robbins and
like how you
an abusive
me saying
dad.
That sounds scary, sincerely.
Yeah, no, shut up. I didn't think you were because I know you're being ridiculous. But my
terrifying.
Point is there's it's like the combination of positive and negative reinforcement, you know. So they would shame me for not being good. Right. And then they would also like the other ones would also encourage me to be better. So it was like a balance of somebody telling you you're a piece of shit and somebody telling you you could be whatever you want to be, you know?
Right.
And I feel like there's a sweet spot in between that can really push you forward as far as shame and encouragement. I think those two things
it's
together
like the guns
really,
and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shame X and encouragement Y.
Yeah.
And then
it's sweet spot. Yeah. Full potential comes in. And so that's the thing is I think you could be like, if somebody really is being made a mockery of, I think you could be like, hey, you look like shit, you know, or this is shitty, whatever this is. and it's not even necessarily in the same, or it can be done in a cunty way. Women always communicate with each other like that in a really shameful, like, oh, you did this, sa-sa. Like, it's all that sa-sa, like passive aggressive, sassy right. bullshit. Like, that's all shame on it within each other. But then it's also be like, you look like a piece of shit in that shirt. You know what I mean? If yeah. your buddy tells you that, then you're like, Jesus, I didn't realize.
Piece of shit in that shirt. I've had this, the honesty thing doesn't, like, I.
With but women, that's the thing, is there's a difference between honesty and shaming women. Somebody. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Because it's, I don't know why. I don't know what, if it's because their ego is more fragile or what it is, you know?
I think guys are just rarely honest with women. So when they meet an honest guy, it kind of shakes their world up. Like, I'll tell you,
I think it's the same thing too, because the women aren't honest either. I think women are more dishonest. Because it's like, oh no, it's okay. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, but
and guys
don't
do that.
In a relationship with somebody, like, the women cut to honesty way quicker than dudes.
Because
do.
That's meaner.
Because
it's for the purpose
the
of being
thing.
Mean.
But that's the old hack thing where it's
what
like, you want to be married. You want your marriage to work. Just lie and always be wrong. You know.
Oh yeah, that happy wife, happy life thing. Yeah.
And like, but women are honest right out the gate. You're gonna wear that shirt. But you can't say you're going to wear that dress, that kind of thing. That's just been covered a million times. Like I was going to say, I was talking to this girl who at the Comedy Store, and somebody came up and said, how was this guy's set? And I said, this guy did a really good job. He's a newer comic and he did a great job. I was like, he sounded like a comic. He looked like a comic.
Mm-hmm.
And now that was in front of this girl who had been blowing steam up my ass all night about how she appreciates how honest I am. Because right in front of her, this guy came up and said, hey, can I be on your show at the Improv? And I said, no, you went away from comedy for 6 months. He went to Brazil. He came back. And I was like, you've stunk every time I've seen you.
Yeah.
And like, but he was super funny before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you're rusty. If I see you get better,
yeah,
then
knock
I'll
the
put
rust
you on the
off.
Show.
Yeah. I'm and not saying she, no forever, but no for now. Yeah, I got to see you do better before.
And he was like, I appreciate that. And she was like, I love how honest you are. And then she heard me describe this other guy as sounding like a comic and looking like a comic. And she goes, do I sound like a comic? And I went, oh, you know. And then her jaw started quivering, and she was about to start crying. After this whole long diatribe, she went on about how much she appreciates how I'm such an honest person. You're one of my favorite people. You're so honest. And then she asked me one question that I didn't
and
even
then you,
answer.
And because you didn't give her the exact response that she wanted, her self-esteem was decimated by it.
Yeah, and she almost started
that's
crying.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Because I've had people... Because those dudes said shit like that to me when I was young, and I was gonna say when I was little, but I was young in comedy.
You are little, always.
Shut up, fuck you. But
you should see her on the TV show.
I am the shortest person on
crazy
this
short
show.
Compared to them, and I was taller than all of them except.
That's
Lachlan.
Fucked up. They had a box. They should have let me stand on the box,
but
so I didn't
can
have
see
to
the
look.
Feet.
Can you?
Yeah, you could see the feet.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Boo.
So you couldn't stand on a box.
No, that's stupid. But yeah, it was because those dudes did make me cry when they told me that it was just like, yeah, that's just, you're not just not funny yet. Like you're in that it fucking hurt. It hurt right. to hear that, but I didn't not do it anymore, you know,
right.
because then the other part of me, the fucking you can do anything you want part of me, the positive reinforcement that I have was like, it's like, fuck, that's what made me be like, well, fuck you. I am going to be, I'll show you. You
yeah.
know, and
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
part, that's the part, that's the disconnect between, I think that like,
but you need to go through this range of emotions in your head or at home or alone. Like that's the thing. I was like, when she was like about to start crying, I was like, go fuck yourself. Like, don't lay your, like, don't ask me a question.
But you can't be mad because you you provoked a feeling out of somebody. Why would you be mad at them for them feeling a thing? She asked you for, she asked you for an honest response. You gave her an honest response. That doesn't, you don't get to control how she reacts to that. That's the whole, like,
well,
not my circus,
like
not my monkeys. You know what I mean? But she just isn't a person that can hide all of it and then go cry in the shower like a grown man like I do. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
That's all it is.
But that's how I think it should be. Like, that's one part, like, when they talk about toxic masculinity, that's one positive attribute of toxic masculinity is that she wouldn't have laid that. She blew all that smoke up my ass about wanting me to be honest. And then I was honest to her and she crumbled. And right in front of me, and it's like, bury this. What are you doing? You're trying to be a comedian. You're at the Comedy Store. Bury your emotions, put them in a bottle, and let them out at home, if ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
But not everybody can do that. Not everybody can do that. They should. I totally agree. Just because I also think that you should be a pillar of strength that's impenetrable by anything some fucking dude. Like, fuck you. Who are you?
I didn't. That's, it's not that, like I. But and I wasn't being that kind of guy.
I know you weren't being that guy. She made you that guy to her. She put you in that position and made you that person. That hall of she had you on this pedestal. You know what I'm saying? And by giving you, she gave you that power over her. You know, and so by you being honest with her, like the way that she just fucking blew smoke up your ass to do, and you did that, then what is she going to punish you for you hurting her self esteem by you being honest?
Get out of here,
right? But that's her fault. That's her problem. That's her problem. That's not yours. You don't have to carry that. And that's why you wanted to be like, fuck you, is don't make me feel bad for being honest, which is the thing you just wanted me to do. Right.
I will say one positive thing I got out of this was that I've been thinking that maybe I'm about to open that door up and start dating people again.
No, why would you want to do that? I just started doing that. It's horrible. There's emotions, but there's feelings.
Let me finish my thought.
Vulnerability. Do you know how gross vulnerability is?
Yeah.
It's awful.
Do you just know how gross I am naked? That's like even worse. I just see that. But,
you!
But listen, when I walked away from her as her jaw was quivering, I was like, oh, that kind of satiated being in a relationship for a little while. Like, that felt pretty good. Like, that was like, that was cool. That was like a little mini relationship.
I think that's why I feel confident in our ability to have a successful podcast together as like a man and a woman is I dare you to try to hurt my fucking feelings.
I mean, I could, but it would have to cross the line into a point where I wouldn't even want to go there.
Yeah.
And
It would take a lot. It would take a lot. Yeah. It would be literally, it would take something. You would have to go out. Yeah. You would have to personally go out just for the purpose of hurting my feelings. Because I do appreciate honesty.
Right.
And so much so that it's ruined a lot of my relationships because I've dated a lot of bitchy dudes who really can't handle the truth, you know?
Right.
And that's why it's been really refreshing, like, the person I'm talking to now is like appreciates that.
How awful your emotional language is.
Yeah, I know, I'm bad at it.
The person I'm talking to now.
I don't know how to do this right. I feel like such a bitch just for having feelings. It's so gross.
He's a very nice man.
It's so gross. He's the best.
Yeah.
He's the best. It's never anything like anything negative that I have to say about relationships. It has nothing to do with him and how great. He's wonderful. He deserves better. That's my point, is we deserves better than this fucking...
Weez deserves better?
He does. He does deserve better.
Did you say Weez?
He's. I said he deserves better.
Oh, I was like, damn, that fireball whiskey dropped in that cider really took you over the line there. Weez deserves better.
No. He deserves better. But
let's see.
That's also because I have, you know, my own shit with my own self-esteem.
All right, let's take it out of this area, and let's do a very awkward transition.
Uh-oh.
Which is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately.
What?
Is my neighbor down the street must have cockroaches or termites or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if listeners have seen this, but when they fumigate a house, they put that big, it looks like a hot air balloon landed over the house, like they put that big...
Oh, those weird tent things?
Yeah, they're like multi-paneled.
Yeah,
they're always like yellow and blue and orange.
I remember, I think the first time I ever saw that was like in the movie Edward Scissorhands. Was
the
first
that?
Time. There was, I don't know if it was like they were filming at a location and that house in general was already being fumigated, so they just filmed it anyways or not. I don't know if it was supposed to be part of the background or not, but I just remember going like, why is that house look like a circus tent? You know?
I just think it's so rude. Like, do they not have a solid colored tent to put over? Like, it's already embarrassing enough because now if they put a regular tent over it, everybody knows you have bugs or some shit.
Yeah.
So you're already, like, everybody gets itchy when they drive by your house.
Which is fucked up, too, because I feel like if you have termites or even cockroaches, it's not... I mean, the grosser thing is like something like bed bugs. Like bed bugs are forever.
Maybe they're doing that.
And they don't do that for bed bugs. Because they just come and spray a whole.
No matter what, you see that tent, you know there's bugs or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's.
I was in an Uber and we were driving from the West Side to Hollywood, and we drove through, not Brentwood, but it was like It was like maybe Beverly Hills, but it was like at the flats. What's that? Is that what it's called? The flats? It's right before you get to the hill. Like if you go
Bel Air?
At the base of the mountain, when you all the
I don't know.
Beverly like, Hills, if you go up in the hills at the bottom of the hills, it's still fucking multi-million-dollar homes. Mm-hmm. They're just not on the side of a mountain. And so there's these multi-million-dollar homes, and one of them had the fucking tent on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so even rich people get bugs.
It's so embarrassing because it's like, just because you, again, everybody knows you have it? Bugs, do they have to make it look like the Ringling Brothers are in town? Like, there's like a bear on a unicycle juggling tennis balls.
You have to go out.
It's a guy who's like a...
Everybody wears a clown nose until they get everything exterminated.
It's like a ringleader. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
You're disgusting. Just calliope music.
Feast your eyes on the filthiest neighbors of the whole block. It's so gross. Like, I feel like if they want, like, I want to start a fumigation business, and what we do.
It's incognito. It's just it's a camo tent.
No, we put a tent of a nicer house over the house. So you go from being embarrassed with the flea circus that's in your house to, like, wow, the Johnsons really upgraded.
Yeah.
Do you see those French balconies? What are we, in the French Quarter all of a sudden? Wow.
Look at those pillars. I had no idea they had that kind of money to remodel.
How did it change overnight? You got in the windows, there's, like, better kids in there. They're, like, reading and studying. It's a hotter husband. Like, it's just a nicer house. That's what I would do. That's my fumigation company.
That would be cool. Just an incognito. But because that's the whole, especially like in rich people areas, like those people don't want anybody to know they got bugs.
I know. It's so rude.
But that's it the other thing like too. It's like, does that mean the rest of the, because in a lot of those richer neighborhoods, everybody knows everybody too. Like they make it a point to know their neighbors and shit, which is such a privileged thing. Like,
I know.
I lived in an apartment building and I ended up knowing people, but it was just because I made an effort to know people. Like, hey, you know, your kids are running around. Just know I'm not going to let them run away or something like that. But in those, they're just like, they have to know. It's that whole keeping up with the Joneses they bullshit. I'm surprised that one of them didn't think it was like a thing. And then they're like, oh, we're having a circus party too.
A moon and they bounce. All these children die from the fumes. They're like, oh, it's a moon palace. Seven children
it's
die.
It's just like a rich kid holocaust happening one rude. House at a time.
Because the thing is, like, there are registered sex offenders with lower profiles than people with termites.
They only have to go door to door.
They don't even have to go door to door now. I think the app takes care of it.
That's right. I forgot about the app.
Yeah, there's an app. So I've never been on the app. So I don't know on my block who's a registered sex offender, but I sure do know who's getting fumigated, which is rude. It's so rude. Like, I just don't understand why it has to look like
a fucking
circus.
It'd be funny if you had to go around and just tell your entire neighborhood that you have bugs. By the way, we can't get rid of these cockroaches. I don't know what it is, but they're just everywhere. It's just disgusting. I'm so sorry that I have to share this with you.
So we're going to throw a big tent over and fume it up. There'll be a bear on a unicycle.
I'm so glad I don't own anything to have to care about that.
I know. Do they fumigate cars? Because I feel like I wish I could get that done to myself.
I want to murder all these motherfucking spiders. Anytime I leave my car anywhere for an extended amount of time, I come home and there is just a family reunion of fucking spiders living in my car.
You got a real tree. Like, you live in a really nature-y kind of street. Makes sense that you.
I like it. Yeah, it's not even just there. I'm talking about even before this car. Like when I had a Saturn. I remember I had a Saturn. I lived out of that Saturn, and then I had to leave and fly someplace and come back. I was only gone like 4 days.
Wait, you've had spider problems in multiple cars.
Multiple cars.
What's the common denominator there?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what it is about me and spiders.
They're nesting in that nasty.
How is it nasty?
That nasty hair of yours.
I have spiders.
Yeah, you're. Maybe this you're dead.
Am I?
Maybe you're made of wood.
Woo! There's a lot of different options you're throwing at me right now. None of them are making any sense.
Over here, full of spiders.
I'm pottery. That's why I like them so much.
No, I don't know. I came back and there was a full intricate web that was in like three of them. And I was like, are you building a family?
That's
in
crazy.
4 days? Fuck you.
Wow. I didn't think a spider could live on Saturn.
Now you know.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's half the battle. G.I. Joe.
Do you take traffic personal? Like here's something when I said in traffic.
Okay, go ahead.
A guy was going cut me off in the HOV lane to go slow. And I was sitting there and I was white knuckling. I had other people in the car. It was your car, I'm not going to lie. You weren't there. I was watching Carmen's car.
So the families of spiders would move in. Instead, I had a drunk Brian taking care of my car so these spiders wouldn't move in.
So white knuckling is this guy's slowing me down the HOV lane. Mm-hmm. Endless pastures ahead of this motherfucker.
I don't like that. That
and
is.
And I just said, what makes you think you have the power to control other people's lives?
Mm-hmm. I always hate when people get indignant about like the fast lane. Like if you're speeding in the fast lane and then they get over to be like, no, this is the speed limit. You go this.
I really think that they're not thinking about their impact on other people. But my friend,
some people do it purposely. I've seen people do it purposely. And I've heard
the speed limit warriors.
Yeah.
They defend the speed limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. The friend who's sitting next to me was like, that is the most personal I've ever heard anybody take somebody going slow in front of them. But I do feel like you're controlling my life right now with how you behave. If I had an RPG, I would have blown that car up and I would have murdered that person in that time and I wouldn't have felt anything about it.
Right, because they're not a person. They're an object. They're literally an object in your way of progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever brand Sequoia is. I take that shit so personal.
See, I don't. That is one place where I feel like it should. I can't. If I'm in a rush, it gets annoying for sure, easily. But that's only because my emotions are heightened. But in general, I just let people.
See,
there is
no if I'm in a rush for me.
Because you're always late.
Well, there's that. But also, no matter how I'm doing as far as getting there on time or not, I'm moving as fast as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on the road or when
I want to as well.
That's how my dad is.
I like to speed. I like to go fast in general, so I get it. Yeah.
Who wants to hang out on the freeway?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand
that.
It's
about the journey, man, not the destination. You guys should see the face Brian just made. He looks like he was trying to not vomit in his own mouth.
I get so mad out there. I get so mad. And my sister called me out because I'm just casually wasting thousands of people's lives. Just pretending I'm murdering them. Because every time I talk to her on the phone, I was like, this asshole, I wish I could kill this car in front of me. And she's like, you're so LA now. And apparently,
how is that LA?
Apparently it's an LA stereotype because of traffic. To move here and just wish death upon everybody else on the road. You just stop valuing lives as much once you come to this crowded,
because we're so
smoggy,
bombarded
hot
with it.
Shithole.
And there's just so many lives here. You know, like if you killed a few thousand, we'd still be in traffic.
I know. Just blow up a soccer stadium. Just blow up like some stupid sport like soccer. Just go blow up a soccer stadium.
No, that would be racist because you know it's not all white people. You'd have to blow
you know
up
what?
Something
being,
more diverse.
It's equality. Listen, I'm treating all the sports equally. I'm holding them to the same standard.
No, you're shitting on soccer.
What I'm saying is when I hold every sport to the same level of entertainment and enjoyment, soccer fails because it's a weak sport. It's boring. It
sucks.
That's
not true. That's why it's
okay. I'll tell you this.
Everywhere in the world except here.
Yeah, the best country in the world is the only one that doesn't like it.
It's not the best country in the world anymore. Come on.
You've never been to Appalachia.
I have.
You never been
I've
to
been,
Kings Canyon?
I've been. I have.
I went to King Canyons. I saw two redwood trees growing out of the same sprout. They were split. I fell to my knees and cried. I've been to Bulgaria. I didn't see shit that made me cry.
Maybe you didn't look hard enough, you know?
Oh,
a lot of pretty shit. There's a lot of pretty shit in pretty places. Here's my point is you're allowing that person in front of you to have power over your life because you could just go around them.
Double white lane, $275 ticket.
Yeah. Are you going to let those two fucking faggot ass white lines run your life? No.
I am going to let those.
There's no cops. Look around. See if there's cops around and you fucking go around it like the criminal you are.
Nope. That's not how it works because when I'm in a blind rage, I can't see. So, but no, first of all, no, you don't get to cut. No, you are controlling my life because you make me have to roll the dice on a potential $275 fine. And I don't even know if I have a license right now. Okay. So potentially jail time.
That's not that car's fault. That's your fault.
But when you put yourself in front of me and force me to make decisions that put me at risk, you're controlling my life. I have decisions I can make to get you out of my life, but they involve a certain level of risk. That's their fault.
I think the difference between you and I is I am comfortable with that risk at all times. Nobody controls me. Nobody tells me what I can and can't do. I'm going to fucking go around you if you get in my way, regardless. Whether it's your car, my car, well, the Pope's car,
that's why you voted for Trump, and I voted.
I voted for Trump. Really? Karl Marx. Fuck you! I didn't. No, you. Do what you vote for?
I didn't vote.
Yes, you did.
I didn't vote.
You didn't vote?
No,
I voted.
I didn't vote.
Why are you bringing that to that?
I just sounded like a Republican the way you, when you were describing the difference between me and you, your tactic. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'll bull around you. I don't give a shit. You don't
control
me. How is
that Republican?
It's just the bootstraps language. I'm going to pull you up. I'm pulling myself up by my bootstraps. I'm a self-made man. Like, it just, it's that kind of language.
No, it's just a contrarian language. It's in a I don't tell me what to do language. Doesn't have anything
like
to do with politics.
White man who lives in Mar-a-Lago.
But I'm a poor Hispanic woman that doesn't have anything. So it doesn't make sense if you're trying to call me a fucking Republican just because I said go around the person that's fucking slowing you down.
Why are you yelling? I feel like there's a lot of aggression in your language.
Just because you called me a Republican for no reason. Just because
this last drop. Anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. No, sir, I don't like it. I didn't like it. Please.
I thought it was going to be more fun. I missed you while I was gone, and this is how you repay me.
This actually was a good episode. We did a good job because we only did like three topics. We did like an hour. That's good. That's good. That means we had a lot of opinions. We had a lot of things to say. We hopefully offended the entire gamut.
Every single person is upset
definitely,
now.
Yeah, that definitely went on some liberal stuff, went on some offensive stuff. Do you guys like these recaps that I just did?
I think I should edit that out. Mm. This is the Sports Center part of the show. Da-na-na, da-na-na. Brian, what's the top 10 of the last hour? Yeah.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. We're going to be in the Southeast in October. Look out for us. We'll be posting dates on, you can find me at Brian Vokey on anything, at Brian_Vokey.
There you go.
And you can find Carmen at The Funny Carmen.
That's right. That's me.
Look us up. And then we have No Sir, I Don't Like It at No Sir Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, if there's stuff that you don't like, if you disagreed with something that we said, we totally appreciate your opinions. We just probably will argue with you. But let us know. Email us at nosiridontlikeit@gmail.com. That's nosiridontlikeitpodcast@gmail.com. I said that the wrong way the first time. So nosiridontlikeitpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. Talk to us. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And, you know, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? Like a stupid one.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.